Shalom Rabbi Galperin, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God, Ilan, how are you?
Good. So before our parasha, we all know that we had the Negev dinner yesterday.
A beautiful dinner last night.
And a beautiful event, and everybody was happy and impressed, and the speakers were amazing, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the food was good and kosher.
Yes,
you helped with all the preparations.
Yes. You know, it goes into a lot of work planning for an event, especially when an event is done in a place that is not a kosher place. For example, St. Clair College of the Arts is not a kosher catering facility.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work that goes into koshering the kitchen and bringing in the new dishes and the utensils and the vessels and making sure everything that is used food-wise is kosher and has a kosher symbol. And, you know, training all the staff and, you know, making sure that, you know, out of habit they don't use their knives and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So it's a very big undertaking, and, you know, all the waitresses and the waiters making sure that they don't take things that aren't able to be used. And so it's a big undertaking,
yeah.
But it went well. Everyone enjoyed it. That's the main thing. The food was good. The speakers were good. The atmosphere was good. And that's the main thing.
Yeah, and I must mention that there were more than 400 people.
Yes, well, yeah. That is correct, because I know the numbers that we were planning on, you know, the executive chef was telling me what he was, you know, planning on cooking for, and there was a lot of more than 400 people. So that was a phenomenal event. You know, it's actually very funny. I came in, you know, a couple of times into the banquet hall, and, you know, there was next to the two police officers, there was, you know,
yeah,
the main security guy of the college. And so he tells me, he says, I am so happy that I was working tonight. I have never seen such an event like this in my life. It is a phenomenal event, probably the best event that we've done over here. So on, that he couldn't stop talking about how impressed he was by the speakers and by the atmosphere and by the awards and by the food. And he was just blown. He was amazed.
Yeah.
So that's you know, and that you're seeing from an outsider of a person, which is phenomenal. It's amazing, and everything went well. So thank God, Baruch Hashem.
Okay. So we are ready for next year, huh? Actually, I was in five of those Negev dinners,
okay,
and I think that this one was the most impressive one.
Yeah. It was really nice. It was really, you know, I think the entertainers that came in doing the fiddle on the roof.
It was nice.
You know, I saw them, you know, during the day practicing, but that night when they did it, they were perfect.
They were perfect. They were. If you watched them, you thought they were Jews. they had the move.
Right.
Okay. So, Parashat Korach.
Parashat Korach, a fascinating Torah portion. It is the 16th chapter in Numbers, and it talks about the story, obviously, of the rebellion, the revolt led by Korach, who he happens to be. Korach himself happens to be a cousin of Moses.
Yeah.
And he challenged Moses' authority. He said, you know, he had a lot of issues, and one of them was, we're all equal. Who gave you the audacity? Who made you be able to decide to take the power? You and Aaron, your brother, we're all equal. Why should you be better than us? And he had a lot of different complaints. But obviously at the end, Korach and his henchmen, that, you know, there were 250 of them that joined in the rebellion, were swallowed by the earth that was underneath them, that it was obviously a divine display from God, and they were swallowed alive. And the Midrash reveals, obviously in the Torah it just tells us, you know, what the facts happened. However, the Midrash explains to us some of the behind the scenes of the dialogue between Moses and Korah. Now we have to remember that Korah was not a pushover. He was no pushover at all. And besides him coming and being a he had a noble lineage. He was very smart. He was wealthy. He was very charismatic. And amongst all the other questions that he had for Moses, Korach had one question that he asked, that a house full of holy books, you know, Sefarim, you know, Chumash, the Bible, and the Maimonides, and the Talmud, and so on and so forth, a house that has full of Sefarim books, does it still require a mezuzah?
Oh, that's interesting.
And Moses answered, yes, it does. And Korach went on in rebelling against him and telling him, you are the most ridiculous person. How can you do this? Look, the little mezuzah contains the Shema. Two chapters of the Torah. Big deal. A whole house full of books with the entire Torah. He says, doesn't do the trick. What do you need? You need a small little mezuzah which has a small, just two little portions written in it. A house that has 600 books. It's so much better. That's what Korach argued. He ridiculed Moses for saying, what are you talking about? You make no sense. How is it a small mezuzah is great? It's good. You need out of it. But a house full of books? No, that doesn't work. And the Medrash goes on to explain that why was Moses' answer correct? Because we have to look and see what indeed is the significance of a small parchment on the doorpost that we call a mezuzah. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained that this is all depends on the location. Why? Because the books that a person has are inside. The mezuzah is outside. It's outside your door on the doorpost. And when there are Jewish texts inside our living rooms and our offices, this indicates that, obviously, this home is a Jewish home, the way that it's supposed to be. That is great. But the question is, what happens when we leave the comfortable confines of our home? Do we continue living that life? Do we continue being Jewish? Or do we cease to be Jewish? And the mezuzah, obviously, is at the threshold of our homes. And also it is at, you know, every intersection, every juncture and crossover between our inner lives and our outer lives. Because as times, as our lives are so busy and as our time, you know, whatever we're doing during the day, we make a transition, let's say, for example, from a private person to a public citizen. We go outside, people see us. We need to be reminded of who we really are. That we have to take our identity that we have in our house wherever we may go. And there is only one God, says this little scroll that is written in the Shema. Whether we are in our private home or in the big wide world.
Yeah.
The Shema reminds us. It's with the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There is only one God. So regardless of where we are, it makes no difference. We have to still constantly remember that. And being Jewish inside is relatively very easy. It's when we have to be, and when we go outside, that we encounter obviously a lot of temptations of the world and things that are going on in the world. And the challenge every Jew has to face is to constantly, myself, I don't know about you, Elon, you're a top-notch guy, but,
thank you.
You know, everyone else, we have to constantly remain proud that we're Jewish, even if sometimes it comes, you know, there are conflicting cultures between people that don't necessarily help us or that we want to look as a Jew in a certain place, you know, we look different.
Yeah.
We act different, we eat differently. So, you know, we might have people that might be a little bit hostile to us. But on the other hand, we have to remember what the mezuzah says. You know, in the German Jewish community, there used to be a slogan, and it was said, Yehudi, I'm trying to remember, oh, Yehudi b'zeitecha.
Yeah.
V'adam b'zeitecha.
Okay, so
be a Jew in your home,
and a person, a human being,
right,
yeah,
and a human being outside. The Nazis, when they came in, they didn't distinguish between Jews who looked Jewish or those who had removed any visible identifying marks that made them Jewish. They made no difference.
Even
they knew that you were Jewish.
Even if there was one far grandmother, they would consider the guy Jewish.
The fact that you were Jewish, if you wore a kippah, you didn't wear a kippah, you had this, you had that, it made no difference. You were Jewish, then they were going to kill you. They didn't care what you were. And today, we see that, you know, we look different. We act differently. The way that we dress is different. We wear a kippah. We wear a tzitzit. We go to synagogue. We eat differently. So many different things that might not necessarily make us, or at least we think that, accepted in the cultures of the world. But we have to constantly remember, number one, not only that we're the chosen nation, we're the unique nation. We're always different. And because we're always different, we're always on the news. Pick on someone that's different. You know, the more normal, common things that happen in the world aren't really exciting. You want the different aspects of the news. That's why we always make in the front pages.
Yeah.
So, Moses rejected Korah's argument with good reason. Because the mezuzah does not replace the need for Jewish libraries, but it serves as a reminder on our doors. As we step out of our home to enter the outside world, it constantly reminds us and tells us to take our God and our Torah, our values and our traditions along with us. That it's not only good that we have it inside the house, but the main thing is what happens when we're going outside of the house. And that's what the mezuzah reminds us of. And that's why Moses' answer to Korach was a good answer. That even though, yes, that we have the house full of Torah books, but the mezuzah we need to have on the front door as well. And Korach couldn't handle it. And that's why he rejected and argued with Moses. But Moses was indeed correct with the answer that he answered. That's where I think something very, very interesting in this week's Torah portion. Obviously very interesting, something that we can apply to our day-to-day life.
Yeah. And what about services in congregation Shaarei Tzedek?
Services we have every Friday evening, 7:30, and Shabbat morning, 9 o'clock. Everyone is welcome, regardless of affiliation, background, and it's an inspiring service. We do a lot of singing, English and Hebrew prayer books, so I invite anyone that is interested or wants to get a little taste, you're more than welcome.
Rabbi, thank you.
Thank you, and we'll be in touch, God willing, next week. We'll be able to talk about the next parsha.
Yes, we will. Shabbat shalom.
You too. Be well, Ilan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.